Thank you, maybe seated. Thank you, go ahead and be seated. All right, thank you, be seated. All right, thank you very much. Open your Bibles. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Thank you. I love your spirit. I love your enthusiasm. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Thank you for that special. Obviously very, very well prepared. Thank you so much. You just saw a great example of how to take a familiar old hymn and just turn it into a really special. That was very, very good. You also learned how, if you forget the words, just make up something and everybody will think you're... Everybody will think you're just singing another language or something, you know. First Corinthians chapter 13. When you find 1 Corinthians chapter 13, I'm going to ask you to hold to that place in your Bible just with your finger or pen or pencil or something, because we're going to come back to it in a moment, but we're actually going to begin in Matthew chapter 25. So if you'll find 1 Corinthians 13 and then go to Matthew chapter 25, that's where we're going to start in a moment. We're going to make a couple of comments before we even read that passage, but we're going to begin in Matthew chapter 25 and then come back to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And when we do that, don't lose your place in Matthew, please, because we'll come back there a little bit later or near there. I want to ask that couple that's somewhere in here today that's kind of your heart and mind sort of focused on each other. I want to ask you to allow the Holy Spirit, as he strives to get your attention, allow him to distract you from each other for a moment. That one that's somewhere in here today that's concerned about all the homework you've got to get done and you're somewhat tempted to maybe wait until after we read the scripture and then maybe if no one's looking, maybe pull out your felt tip markers and begin doing some project for a class. I'm going to plead with you this morning. Let the Holy Spirit distract you from that as we get ready to hear what he has for us. That someone who's in here somewhere who is legitimately concerned about a real burden back home or maybe in your own personal life or maybe someone on your bus route, and you're legitimately concerned and burdened about them, and it's on your mind, it's on your heart, let me plead with you for the next about 34 minutes. Would you let the Holy Spirit distract you from that legitimate concern and pay very close attention to what he has for us today in the chapel? And I begin with those statements because the first statement of my message, the first statement in my outline, I feel is vital. I'm going to ask you to listen and hang on every word. It is possible to attend Hiles Anderson College and completely misunderstand the purpose of the original concept of Hiles Anderson College. I'll go a step beyond that. I'll make this statement. It is possible to graduate from Hiles Anderson College and completely misunderstand the purpose of the original concept of Hiles Anderson College. I'll go one step beyond that. It's possible to work at Hiles Anderson College and completely misunderstand the purpose of the original concept of Hiles Anderson College. One of the best ways I know to define the purpose of the original concept of Hiles Anderson College is to remind all of us of the fact that from the very beginning, every student who has attended Hiles Anderson College has been required, and still is, has been required to work in the bus ministry. You have to remember, Hiles Anderson College wasn't started so we could get a bunch of enthusiastic, sincere, hardworking, dedicated young people to come from some of the best churches in America to this area to help us build a bigger bus ministry or a bigger church. You've got to remember that the First Baptist Church of Hammond, the people at the First Baptist Church of Hammond had been used by God to build the world's largest Sunday school before Hiles Anderson College ever started. September the 17th, 1972, about a month after Hiles Anderson College started, Dr. Elmer Towne came to First Baptist Church Hammond representing the Christian Life magazine, and he awarded a plaque to the First Baptist Church of Hammond, to the people of the church, commemorating the fact that the Christian Life magazine had, according to their research, determined that in the year 1971, over a year before Hiles Anderson College ever started, that the First Baptist Church of Hammond had grown to become the world's largest Sunday school. I asked Brother Hiles, since I was the bus director for 26 years working with the college students, and knowing that we already had the world's largest Sunday school, world's largest bus ministry before Hiles Anderson College ever started, I asked Brother Hiles one time, Brother Hiles, why is it that you, in the beginning of the college, you decided that the one thing every student was required to do was, you know, they had to serve in the bus ministry while they were here? And here's the answer he gave me. He said, every Christian should at least have a taste of that kind of Christianity. My first statement was, it is possible to attend Hiles Anderson College and completely misunderstand. It's possible to attend, graduate, and even work at Hiles Anderson College and completely misunderstand the purpose of the original concept of Hiles Anderson College. My second statement is this. None of you came here to this area to work a job in order to make enough money to be able to afford to sit in a classroom and own some textbooks. That's not why you came here. You didn't come here to sit in a classroom and own some textbooks. You didn't come here to work a job so you could pay your bill, so you could sit in a classroom and own some textbooks, and maybe someday even get a piece of paper to hang on your wall that looks real fancy and has some nice signatures on it. My third statement is this. One of the main purposes of Hiles Anderson College is for you to learn to love God. Learn to love God more in most cases because most of you came from either a godly home or a great church or both, and you already love God to some extent. And the purpose of Hiles Anderson College is for you to, one of the main purposes is for you to learn to love God more in some cases by learning to serve others by serving others. Let's look at some scripture that will remind us why Hiles Anderson College exists and why you are here. Look in Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25, I want to begin with Matthew 25, verse 35. Matthew 25, 35. For I was a hungry, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee and hungered, or and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Now hold your place there if you would, and let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And we're going to read verse 13. 1 Corinthians 13, 13. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity. Charity is love in action. You know, every word of the Bible is there on purpose. Every word of the Bible is inspired by God. There's not one mistake in the King James Bible. And God used the word charity there on purpose. He didn't use the word love. He used the word charity because charity is love in action. Brother House used to say, love not expressed is not love at all. You know, if I feel in my heart that I love you, but I don't say it and I don't express it in any way whatsoever, that feeling that I have inside of me that I love you benefits me. It makes me feel better. But it doesn't do you any good whatsoever. So I'm not sure it is love, because it's only benefiting me. It's not benefiting you. You know, if we read John 3:16, for God so loved the world, period. That doesn't do me and you any good whatsoever. But for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. He expressed his love to us by giving us something, by doing something for us. You see, faith is the trust I put into God. Hope is what I know will happen because of my faith. Hope, the faith, hope, charity, that hope there, that's not hope like, I hope we win the ball game today. I hope my team wins today. You know, I hope he asks me out for a date next week. No, that hope is confidence. That hope is, I just know it's going to happen because he said it would. Faith, that's the trust I put in God. The result of that faith is my hope. I hope he's going to come back soon, and I know he is. I hope he's going to take me to heaven someday, and I know he is. But the charity is what I'm willing to do because of the hope that I have, because of the faith that I put in God. Charity is not just how I feel. Charity is not just, well, you know, we sang a song about God's love the other day, and I got a tear in my eyes, so I must really love God. No, maybe you had a stomachache or something. I don't know. You know, if all you ever do is say the words, I love you, that doesn't fully express it. You know, let's suppose a wife says to her husband many times a day, I love you, I love you, I sure love you, oh, I love you. But every night when he comes home from work, there's never any supper waiting. You know, this morning my wife walked me to the door and she hugged me and kissed me and hugged me and kissed me. Anyway, I got stuck there. But anyway, and she said, as I walked out the door, would you like to have a sweet potato with your supper tonight? Hey, I felt loved. You know, you can't grow up in Louisiana. There's a state law. You can't grow up there unless you love sweet potatoes. You know, if a wife said to her husband, I sure love you, but she never cleaned the house, how loved would he feel? If a husband said, I sure love you, to his wife, I love you, but he never went to work. He never brought home a paycheck. He didn't provide a home. He didn't provide any clothes or any food. Okay, if a student says to his teacher, boy, brother so-and-so, I sure love you. You're my favorite teacher, but he never turns in any homework. Okay, let's get back to the Bible. You know, faith benefits me. Hope benefits me. Charity benefits you. And that's why charity is the greatest of the three. Because hope, it's great, man. I mean, that's great. It's great to have hope and know that Jesus is coming back. Faith is great. You know, it's great to have faith and know you're saved. But charity doesn't just benefit me, it benefits you. Now, a byproduct is charity benefits me too. But the implementing of charity benefits you. Now, I'm going somewhere. I know some of this doesn't seem to be related, but I'm going somewhere. Stay with me. Sitting in a math class, even at Hiles Anderson College, doesn't make you a good Christian. That might give you a headache, but it... No, sorry, Dr. Cal, I'm just kidding. Sitting in history class or science class, even at Hiles Anderson College, doesn't make you a better Christian. I'll go further than that. Even reading your Bible for an Old Testament survey assignment doesn't make you a better Christian. Even coming to chapel at Hiles Anderson College doesn't make you a better Christian. It gives you an opportunity. All of those give you an opportunity to learn how to become a good Christian. So then the question is this. Then how do I express my love to God? If one of the main purposes of Hiles Anderson College is to teach me to love God more, then how do I express my love to God? All right, go back to the book of Matthew, and this time go to chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22, and we're going to begin in verse 35. Matthew chapter 22, verse 35. Then one of them, one of the Pharisees, then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked Jesus a question, tempting him and saying, "Master, which is the great commandment in the law?" Jesus said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment." This is the first commandment. This is the great commandment. You know, okay, the question is, what is the most important part of the Christian life? Is it prayer? What is the most important part of the Christian life? Is it soul winning? What is the most important ingredient of the Christian life? Is it reading your Bible? Is it tithing? The Bible said the first and the great commandment is to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. But how do I do that? How do I love the Lord with all my heart, with all my soul, and with all my mind? It's amazing how many times the Bible answers itself. Look at verse 39. Let's go back to verse 37. Jesus said unto them, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and the great commandment. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." Did you notice that? The second commandment is just like the first one. In other words, the second commandment is the same as the first commandment. In other words, I can't explain the first and great commandment to you. The reason we asked what is the first, the great commandment, because we want one easy answer. We want one solution. If I just always do this one thing, then I'll be a good Christian. But life's not that simple, and Christianity's not that simple. It takes all of the law, all of the prophets for you to become a good Christian. It takes you learning and living and getting to know and loving and obeying all of the scripture, but all of the scripture, all of the law, all of the prophets hang on this one thing. The foundation of it all, everything in the Bible points me to this, that I'm supposed to love God. But how do I love God? I've never seen him. He's never needed a seat in a crowded doctor's office when I was in there. He never tried to go through the door the same time I did. He never needed to get ahead of me in traffic as we were merging. How do I love God? He never asked me if he could borrow $5. He never wanted to get in line first at the lunch because he had to hurry and eat and get to work. How do I love God? Well, You do it by loving your neighbor. Well, okay, Brother Young, then I'll ask one more question. How do I love my neighbor? It's amazing how many times the Bible answers itself. We just read the answer a few minutes ago. I was hungry and ye gave me meat. Have you personally helped feed somebody in the last week? Okay, last 2 weeks. Okay, the last month. Okay, since school started. Have you personally helped feed somebody? I was thirsty and you gave me drink. Have you given any thirsty person something to drink? Well, I was a stranger and you took me in naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came unto me. Have you done any of those since school started this fall? Have you personally bought some clothing for somebody? Have you personally given somebody something to eat or something to drink? Have you personally visited someone that was sick or someone that was in prison? Or have you personally taken somebody and brought them in and welcomed them into your life and helped them become more comfortable in whatever situation they were in? Then we want to ask with the lawyer who was, you know, that asked Jesus, well, who is my neighbor? Remember when Jesus answered that question, he told the story of the Good Samaritan, and he told about the three different people that walked by the guy that was wounded, and finally the third one, the Samaritan, stopped and helped him. And the lawyer asked, who is my neighbor? But Jesus asked, have you been a neighbor? We want to ask, who is my neighbor? Jesus wants to ask, have you been a neighbor? You know, we want to have a neighbor. Jesus wants us to be a neighbor. Okay, if the first commandment is to love God, and the way I love God is by loving my neighbor, and the way I love my neighbor is by serving my neighbor, then who should I serve? Well, it's amazing how many times the Bible answers itself. The Bible says, ye know that they which rule over the Gentiles exercise lordship over them. But it shall not be so among you, but whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister, and whosoever of you will be the chiefest shall be servant of all. Who are you supposed to serve? Which neighbor are you supposed to serve? Every one of them. All of them. And by the way, that includes your parents. By the way, that includes your siblings. That includes your other church members. That includes your roommates here in college. That includes any needy person, and especially the most needy person, regardless of your title, regardless of your duty, regardless of your position, regardless of your responsibility. It is all of our responsibilities to serve all of us. So at Howes Innocent College, the question is not who's going to get to be the bus captain. The question is not who's going to get to be the division leader. I remember one time when I was bus director, a man asked me, an older student here at the college asked me one day, he said, why are all these immature freshmen and sophomores serving as bus captains? And I said, because that way they can go ahead and make the same mistakes right now while they're in college that you're going to make the first 2 or 3 years you're in the ministry after you graduate. You see, the only way to learn to work with people is by working with people. There's no other way to do it. We are commanded to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. And the training of the heart is more important than the training of the mind. Notice he said, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. He said that first. And everything in the Bible is on purpose, even what order it comes in. The training of your heart is more important than the training of your mind. But we cannot train your heart sitting in a classroom. I'm sorry, we can't do that. It is impossible. Even at Howes Innocent College, and I feel that our college is as good as some of the others. I'm not saying we're any better than any of the rest of them. But even at our college, we can't train your mind. We cannot train your heart sitting in a classroom. We can only fill your mind with the methods that you should use, the tools you can use, the skills you can use to serve people. You have to train your heart by serving people with the methods that you are taught. And you can't do that in a classroom. Okay, let me put it on a level where I think at least every man in the room would understand, and I think most ladies would relate to this to some extent. Suppose a man decided that his ambition in life and his calling in life and what he knew he wanted to do with his life was he was going to be a pro football player. He was going to play for the NFL. And so he worked real hard and got a scholarship to go to Penn State or Texas A&M or UCLA or one of the big universities, and he was going to be a professional football player when he graduated from college. So in college, he took the class quarterback 101. Boy, he studied everything about how to be a quarterback. And then he took defense 202. And then he took offense 303. And then he took interceptions 401. And boy, he learned and he studied and he did his homework and he passed the test. But every Saturday while the team was playing the game, he was busy studying or working his part-time job or memorizing the methods to be a better football player, or doing his laundry, or writing a letter to somebody back home, or catching up on his sleep because he had to work hard that week. That seems a little foolish, doesn't it? Does that sort of relate to anything kind of goes on here at Hiles Anderson College? When I first came to college in 1974, that's 1974, not 1874. When I first came to college here in 1974, there was no such thing as a job placement department that would help you find a job here in the area. The college was only third year we were in business, and they just hadn't gotten to that point yet. And so after I was here a day or two, I asked a student, hey, have you heard of any place in the area that's hiring? And one student told me yes, and it was, I think it was called Dietrich's. Is that, you remember that Dietrich's up on Columbia Avenue in Hammond? I think that was the name of it. So I went up there, and I put in my application. And I could tell by the way they were being polite to me that thank you, we'll take your application, throw it in the garbage, and if we ever need you, we'll call you. And so I thought, well, that didn't get me very far, so I walked back out to the parking lot, and I noticed across the street there was another little industry over there. So I walked, instead of getting my car, I walked over there, and I knocked on the door, and I went in, and I told them I wanted a job, and they didn't need anybody. So I went next door, and they didn't need anybody, and I went next door, and I went next door. And finally, I came to the Hammond Machine Works in Hammond on Columbia Avenue, a machine shop that made parts for the railroad industry. And I told the secretary, I'm looking for a job. And she said, well, give me a moment, and I'll call the foreman. And he came in off the floor and came in the office, and he talked to me for a few moments. And he said, well, give me a moment, I'll get the owner. And so the owner came in, and he sat down, and he talked to me for a few moments. And I had on my white shirt and tie, my slacks, you know, I'd just come from class. And so the owner finally said, he said, well, the way you're dressed, the only job you could have around here is my job, and it's not available. I said, well, I got some work clothes back in my dorm room. If you're interested, I'll go get them and come back. And, you know, and so finally he agreed and he gave me a job. Now I went to work, Hammond Machine Works. And I worked for about a week or two or three. I don't remember exactly. And I remember the day, the foreman's name was Lenny. And I remember Lenny came to me. I was running a turnt lathe and oil spraying everywhere and, you know, filthy, dirty. And he came in, and it was on a Thursday or Friday, I don't remember exactly which, but he said we're behind on orders this. No, he said we got a new order this week, and we got lots of parts we got to get out. We got to get them out by Monday. He said so we're all going to have to work this weekend. He said so we're all going to work Saturday and Sunday, and it's required. Everybody has to work. And I said, oh, Lenny, I'm so sorry. I said, you know, before I came to work here, I already had another job where I work on weekends. You ever heard the little song? In fact, I think we sang it around here a few days ago, maybe during Spirit Week. The little song, I will serve thee because I love thee. Remember that song? Did we sing that here a few days ago? Let's sing that. Maybe sing it through a couple times, that first line. You remember when you said, let's stand and sing that song.
Sing the first two lines. Ready? Here we go.
I will serve serve.
You may be seated. You love that song as much as I do, but that song's backwards. I don't serve him because I love him. I learn to love him because I serve him. And the way I serve him is by serving you and him and him and him and whoever else I cross paths with today, and my wife and my children and the rest of the staff here. All the law and all the prophets hang on these two commandments. It isn't, okay, I'm going to say this tongue in cheek. I could get crucified for saying this here at Howells Innocent College, but you don't take this out of context. The doctrine we're talking about this morning is not one of those auxiliary doctrines, one of those insignificant doctrines like heaven or hell or salvation or faith or grace or the deity of Christ or the virgin birth or the blood atonement or the resurrection. No, this is the foundation of all the doctrines. This one is important, as if those aren't, but this one is important. This is the first and the great commandment, to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy soul and all thy mind. How can I do that? Well, you can do that by reading so-and-so's book, who talks about how spooky he felt while he was reading the book. And then when you finish reading the book, you can get up and brag about how spooky you felt while you read the book. And then that'll make you a good Christian. That's what we think sometimes. But the way we love him is by serving others. You ever heard of Dr. R.G. Lee? I know none of you ever heard him preach, except maybe on an iPod or something. But I know I almost said cassette tape, and I know you don't know what that is and all that. Okay. But Dr. R.G. Lee, I heard him preach several times. He was called the golden-tongued orator, is what was his nickname. For many, many years, for decades, every single day he learned a new word in the English language and how to spell it and how to pronounce it and how to use it. But at the end, near the end of his life, he came to my hometown and he preached a conference. And in a question and answer session, my pastor asked, Dr. Lee, after pastoring for 40 years, after serving as the president of the Southern Baptist Convention back when their churches were very similar to what we hope ours are today, Dr. Lee, if you had anything to do over in your entire life, is there anything you'd do differently? And that quick, Dr. Lee said, oh, yes. He had a real southern drawl. He said, oh, yes. He said, I would have comforted the hearts of more people. I wonder whose heart needs to be comforted this weekend on your bus route. I wonder what little fifth grade Joey Diaz, we all heard him give his testimony up here the other day. I wonder what little fifth grade Joey Diaz is sitting on the roof of some building in Chicago this weekend wondering, what's life all about? Praying, God, can you please help me with this mess I'm in? And hoping that you're going to come by and express some love to him. Now, wait a minute. Not one single Howells Anderson College student should go quit their job tonight, even if you have to work on Saturdays. Not one single Howells Anderson College student should leave here and be smart aleck to your boss at work tonight about having to work this weekend, and then get fired and then come back Monday and say, well, I did what Brother Ray told me to do and I got fired. No, Brother Ray didn't tell you to go get fired. But Brother Ray's telling you the purpose of Howells Innocent College was not for you to come here and work a job and earn money and sit in a classroom and own textbooks. The purpose of Howells Innocent College was for you to learn to love God. And the way you love God is by loving people. And the way you love people is by serving people. And we cannot teach you how to serve people sitting in a classroom. We can give you a few dating pointers, but we can't fall in love for you. We can't pick your wife. We can't pick your husband. We can't fall in love with your wife. We can't fall in love with your husband-to-be. We can give you some pointers like you did today. But if I were a student at Hiles Anderson College, and every Saturday or most Saturdays, while everybody else was out learning how to serve people, I was earning money, I'd pray about that. I'd get some very, 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 very mature counsel. Not from my roommate, not from my bus worker, not from my student bus captain, not from my student division leader, but from Brother Wilkerson or Brother Douglas or some Dr. Calling or someone like that. I'd get some Brother Malucci, Brother Stubblefield. I'd get some very mature counsel, and I'd say, God, what I want more than anything else in this world is to love you. And if I understand the Bible right, the way to do that is by serving others. So God, somehow work it out for me that I can spend my life serving you. Thank you. You ever heard the little song? In fact, I think we sang it around here a few days ago, maybe during Spirit Week. The little song, I will serve thee because I love thee. Remember that song? Did we sing that here a few days ago? Let's sing that. Maybe sing it through a couple times, that first line. You remember when you said, let's stand and sing that song.
We're going to sing the first two lines. Ready? Here we go. I will serve.
Seated. You love that song as much as I do, but that song's backwards. I don't serve him because I love him. I learn to love him because I serve him. And the way I serve him is by serving you and him and him and him and whoever else I cross paths with today, and my wife and my children and the rest of the staff here. All the law and all the prophets hang on these two commandments. It isn't, okay, I'm going to say this tongue in cheek. I could get crucified for saying this here at Hiles Anderson College, but you don't take this out of context. The doctrine we're talking about this morning is not one of those auxiliary doctrines, one of those insignificant doctrines like heaven or hell or salvation or faith or grace or the deity of Christ or the virgin birth or the blood atonement or the resurrection. No, this is the foundation of all the doctrines. This one is important. As if those aren't, but this one is important. This is the first and the great commandment, to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy soul and all thy mind. How can I do that? Well, you can do that by reading so-and-so's book, who talks about how spooky he felt while he was reading the book. And then when you finish reading the book, you can get up and brag about how spooky you felt while you read the book. And then that'll make you a good Christian. That's what we think sometimes. But the way we love him is by serving others. You ever heard of Dr. R.G. Lee? I know none of you ever heard him preach, except maybe on an iPod or something. But I know I almost said cassette tape, and I know you don't know what that is and all that. Okay. But Dr. R.G. Lee, I heard him preach several times. He was called the golden-tongued orator. Is what it was his nickname. For many, many years, for decades, every single day he learned a new word in the English language and how to spell it and how to pronounce it and how to use it. But at the end, near the end of his life, he came to my hometown and he preached a conference, and in a question and answer session, my pastor asked, Dr. Lee, after pastoring for 40 years, after serving as the president of the Southern Baptist Convention back when their churches were very similar to what we hope ours are today, Dr. Lee, if you had anything to do over in your entire life, is there anything you'd do differently? And that quick, Dr. Lee said, oh, yes. He had a real southern draw. He said, oh, yes. He said, I would have comforted the hearts of more people. I wonder whose heart needs to be comforted this weekend on your bus route. I wonder what little fifth grade Joey Diaz, we all heard him give his testimony up here the other day. I wonder what little fifth grade Joey Diaz is sitting on the roof of some building in Chicago this weekend wondering, what's life all about? Praying, God, can you please help me with this mess I'm in? And hoping that you're going to come by and express some love to him. Now, wait a minute. Not one single Hiles Anderson College student should go quit their job tonight, even if you have to work on Saturdays. Not one single Hiles Anderson College student should leave here and be smart aleck to your boss at work tonight about having to work this weekend and then get fired and then come back Monday and say, well, I did what Brother Ray told me to do and I got fired. No, Brother Ray didn't tell you to go get fired. But Brother Ray's telling you the purpose of Hiles Anderson College was not for you to come here and work a job and earn money and sit in a classroom and own textbooks. The purpose of Hiles Anderson College was for you to learn to love God. And the way you love God is by loving people. And the way you love people is by serving people. And we cannot teach you how to serve people sitting in a classroom. We can give you a few dating pointers, but we can't fall in love for you. We can't pick your wife. We can't pick your husband. We can't fall in love with your wife. We can't fall in love with your husband-to-be. We can give you some pointers like you did today. But if I were a student at Hiles Anderson College, and every Saturday or most Saturdays, while everybody else was out learning how to serve people, I was earning money, I'd pray about that. I'd get some very, 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 very mature counsel, not from my roommate, not from my bus worker, not from my student bus captain, not from my student division leader, but from Brother Wilkerson or Brother Douglas or some Dr. Calling or someone like that. I'd get some Brother Malucci, Brother Stubblefield. I'd get some very mature counsel, and I'd say, God, what I want more than anything else in this world is to love you. And if I understand the Bible right, the way to do that is by serving others. So God, somehow work it out for me that I can spend my life serving you.